What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to another episode of the number one sports podcast in the Southeast Metro Detroit region. I'm your host, Connor, as always, with the V of CMV. Vladdy, what's going on, man?
Not much. We're back from the golf trip. I had a kind of a, not necessarily a long day at work, but a very busy day at work, just kind of catching up with missing Friday. Other than that, though, not much. We were not able to kind of defend our title from the Spartan Invitational last year. Very disappointing, but it is what it is. I've got a short work week, so by the time people are listening to this, I'll probably be halfway done, and that's nice and kind of gives me a little bit of extra motivation, but nothing else to add. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, it's sad to wake up on this Monday and not have the trophy at my house to be a Spartan Invitational champion. You know, we gave it our all. We got second place this year. Yeah, I don't know. It wasn't so much that we were bad, I'd say. It was just more we weren't. To kind of win the event, you do have to go above and beyond what you normally play. And I wouldn't say that we went above and beyond what we normally play.
Agree. So, good, not great.
Right. So, congratulations to the champions. Steve and Josh, you guys suck. We'll be back for a trophy next year. But it's cool to play those tracks up there and just get different vibes up there than you normally have in the day-to-day grind. So as far as me, I start school to, I have school events this week, but start classes next week. So that's all starting up again and just kind of telling myself you got one more year of it. So get it done.
Yep.
Today's episode, though, as far as actual topics, there's really not much going on right now. Again, as we kind of wait for the football season to start, we jokingly mentioned week zero for the college football season this weekend before we hopped on the air. But this week, in terms of our previews for football, is going to be mostly about the Lions, kind of go into what we saw last year, what we're going to see this year, and make some kind of predictions for everyone's favorite squad here in the Metro Detroit region, here in year four of the Dan Campbell era. So I guess where do you want to start? Because we could just dive right into it.
I'll say let's go with maybe some of the – I think some of the kind of the player mobility from – I say mobility is kind of some of the changes on the team from a player standpoint. I don't know if we want to start with the draft, maybe players that left in free agency. You tell me.
Let's start with the offense because I think that's quicker as far as just new faces in general.
All right.
So I'll let you kind of dive into the new faces to start.
Sure. So from a quote-unquote losses standpoint, I think most of the losses from last year's team into this year's team were on the offensive side. Starting left guard Jonah Jackson and wide receiver Josh Reynolds, I think were kind of the two main ones that I noted. And I could just blatantly be blinking, but that's what I had. I actually talked about Jonah Jackson, I think a decent bit earlier in the offseason. There was still maybe a decision. And, you know, it's never changed. He's a good player when he's healthy, but I don't think he was ever healthy enough over the course of his 4 years in Detroit to warrant giving him the contract that he ended up getting from the Rams, which for people who don't remember, it was 3 years, $51 million. I mean, $17 million a year for an interior offensive lineman, that's going to be steep right off the start. But for a guy who's going to miss four, five, six games a year on average, can't do it. And then on the Josh Reynolds side, he also moved on to the Denver Broncos, and he wasn't ever that super flashy, superstar, Mr. 140 yards a game, but he was so reliable with Jared Goff. I mean, I think at any given point you could count on three or four receptions for 40 yards, and that was kind of just Josh Reynolds' classic. It's a shame that that last game in San Francisco, I think, ended with that stupid dropped pass he had,
right. But
it is what it is. I probably would have wanted to have him back, but I had also mentioned where if he was going to be coming back, the roles between him and J-Mo would have needed to be flipped, where J-Mo got to take on more of an active role. And you know what? The team clearly believes J-Mo's ready to step in. They just didn't even bother with Josh Reynolds, kind of giving him an option to stay with us, and that's fine. Kind of on the addition side, if you will, we replaced Jonah Jackson with left guard Kevin Zeitler from the Baltimore Ravens. Kevin Zeitler, who is a very, very good player when healthy, kind of similar to Jonah Jackson, where he missed some time last year, but if he is healthy, he is going to absolutely be able to keep up the high standard of play for this offensive line. So that's great. He's definitely on the older side. I want to say he's 34. He might be the oldest player on the offense, if I'm not mistaken. So there's that. I mean, if you really want to talk other additions, you got they drafted that behemoth from
Oh yeah.
Florida in the fourth
I didn't
round.
even mention.
Gee, what was his name? Oh boy. Manu. Well, I can't believe I'm blanking on his first name, but I mean, purely as a developmental player, and which that's fine. I mean, Penei Sewell is a right tackle. Nobody's ever playing over him. So I think you sit there and they extended Taylor Decker for I think 2 or 3 years, and I assume the idea will be we're going to teach this guy how to play football, and he can replace Taylor Decker in some time. So that's an addition, if you will, but you shouldn't expect anything from him. Another one that's going to, I think, fall into that category is Sione Vaki, who was drafted as a safety at the time from Utah, and has now kind of played just special teams and will probably make the team as an officially listed running back. And hope I guess from what I've seen so far, he's competing with Craig Reynolds for the RB3 spot, but like that's you're not doing much ahead of or behind Gibbs and Montgomery. So kind of other some a new face, if you will, there as well on the offense, but everything else is just continuity. It's kind of what the Lions have been under Brad and Dan, to my annoyance at times, but it also provides a lot of kind of help and familiarity and ease of just learning the systems and what you need to do. So we'll see how that goes. I guess thoughts from you before we get to the defensive side.
Yeah, I guess you mentioned the continuity. It's the side of the ball where I don't mind it on. They were good there last year. And like you said, if you go back, I was going back and looking at some guys' numbers, like maybe not additions wise, but just speaking on the continuity, like Amon-Ra, obviously Laporta has the career rookie tight end year of a lifetime. And even the two running backs, like I didn't really quite realize because I think you kind of forget as Gibbs kind of took over more of that role towards the end of the year, how good Montgomery was himself that year. And that was even with him missing some time. So it's a side of the ball where I don't really mind the continuity there. It's another year of Ben Johnson being in his groove. Everybody knows each other there. So I don't have any complaints with really the state of the offense or whether I guess the lack of additions. I mean, I'd say personally for this year only Zeitler at the very least is similar to Jonah Jackson, if not better. Like you said, that can change very, very quickly at the age of 34. But yeah, not I don't really have as much to say or add in the offense just because there's a lot of continuity. They were really good last year, and it's just kind of let's run it back.
I guess the last
Obviously,
thing.
I was going to mention that everybody did get paid too, which is worth offensively, as
Yeah.
far as the big dogs.
Yeah, I guess when I was thinking about continuity, I was thinking from players. You mentioned Ben Johnson. I mean, we're not even 4 or 5 months removed from the kind of the hot rumors of is he going to Washington? He is going to
Right.
Washington. Washington's on his way here. Oh my
Right.
God, he told Washington to go screw themselves. So yeah, that's something that I completely kind of blanked on up until you kind of brought his name up. So that was big. On the defense, you want to kind of lead off?
Yeah, I guess do we want to go a little more by position group? Because I think you can start with the secondary because there's obviously the most change there.
Sure.
Obviously, your first two picks this year, both corners, a group that kind of struggled last year. I think overall, I believe the stats I were looking at, they were pretty much in the mid to late 20s in every passing stat on defense. So it's a spot where they probably need the most improvement on, and they addressed it. I'm not so sure that it's addressed to the point where this is going to be, the no-fly zone right away this year. But it has been addressed to where it should be improved from its kind of dire states last year. Obviously, how do you say the kid from Missouri's name that they drafted?
Ennis Rakestraw.
Rakestraw.
Rake
Okay.
straw.
Oh, I was gonna say Rackstray, but I don't
No.
know why there's a W there. You had him and Terry and Arnold. I saw Terry and Arnold injured in camp. I'm not sure. I hadn't seen any updates on how serious that was. But I think you're kind of hoping those two can step in and play somewhat of a role. You add Carlton Davis from the Bucks, and you say goodbye to my least favorite player. I don't even want to say his name. He only played two games, so is it really saying goodbye to him? But he's an Eagle now.
Fair. Okay. We will not mention that fine young gentleman who seems to be so good at football that he's now played for four teams in 6 years. You're correct. We're not going to say his name. But yeah, I think the only guy from the secondary you didn't mention was the signing of Amik Robertson to kind of be your
Oh, sorry.
nickel
Yeah,
corner,
the
and
guy from the
they were going to
Raiders.
push. Yeah, they were going to push Brian Branch back to the safety role. So it should be a completely revamped secondary. And you mentioned the struggles last year. I think that the struggles last year were obviously that the players were not as good as we hoped they are this year. But I also think part of the problem, and this is one of the things that I still slightly have concerns about, is we don't rush the passer very well.
No.
We outside of Aiden Hutchinson, there is nobody with a pulse that can consistently rush the passer. And even Aiden Hutchinson, I've complained about this on here. I've complained about this to friends when we're talking, is he puts up some stats. I think he had 11 and a half sacks last year, but it could have been 18 if he doesn't blow by the quarterback all the time or let his little tiny T-Rex arms just get a fingertip on the jersey and the guy just steps in front of him. So, as we're talking about it, let's move into the defensive line. I think they did do a little bit or a little bit to help out. I mean, you signed Marcus Davenport. From what I've heard, Marcus Davenport's pretty good at football for about three games a season and then spends the rest of that season on injured reserve, which is rather unfortunate because I like my football players to play 17 plus games a season if you count the playoffs. But
No way, I do too.
I guess there's some edge help. I think this James Houston kind of craziness that we saw in 2022 where he put up what was it, like eight sacks or like seven sacks in five games, whatever it was. I think that kind of we got brought back down to the median where it was like this kid was a sixth round pick and then cut just to be re-signed for a reason. He's not Nick Bosa, he's not Von Miller, but you know what? There's another body in there to potentially rush the passer. I think the biggest signing on the defensive line, though I haven't mentioned yet, was DJ Reader from the Cincinnati Bengals on a 2-year deal, even though only one of it pretty much is guaranteed. And he's more of a run-stopping guy. He's not Aaron Donald, but what I think that he w might be able to do is he might free up Aleem McNeil to have a little bit more focus and emphasis on getting interior pressure on the quarterback instead of just being, oh yeah, you're the big body, don't let them get 7 yards per carry. And if DJ Reader can have kind of the impact on the ground game that, if you remember, Snacks Harrison had, what was it now, 5 or 6 years ago after we
Yeah,
traded for him
geez.
from the Giants, that will be very, very good. But yeah, that's kind of the defensive line. I don't think I might be missing some other kind of just rotational, no big names, but I think that's pretty much it. So it's improved. We'll see how improved. And like I said, if we're still sitting there sacking the quarterback at a below average, if not just straight up bad rate, and those putting up those kinds of numbers, your secondary is still going to struggle because no human being can chase another human being for indefinite amount of time. They'll get open eventually. So we'll see there.
That's also got to come from a guy that, like, I think has a mixed viewpoint in Detroit is Aaron Glenn. That partially has to change from him changing his philosophy and just getting more pressure in general. I know the names haven't necessarily been consistently there to be able to feel confident doing that on a consistent basis, but it's also got to be a change in philosophy from the defensive coordinator. So, a guy who was also, I'm relatively surprised. I don't think he's that bad of a coach as maybe you do, but that he was getting head coaching offers and chose to return to stay. The
Yeah, I do.
linebacking group. Sorry?
I was just gonna say I do think he's a bad coach, and I don't know if he ever actually got offers, but he was looked at for like head coaching opportunities.
Right. The linebackers.
I don't think there was actually that much change here. I
No.
mean, Derek Barnes is still here. Anzalone's still here. Obviously, Jack Campbell better still be here as a first round pick. I'm sure I'm blanking on like one or two other guys, but
Rodrigo.
I mean, that's another one of those James Houston like guys who
Yeah.
great story when we were a bad team and we could sit there and put our hats on something, but is that really going to be a guy that leads a Super Bowl caliber team, or is it even a key contributor on a Super Bowl caliber team? The answer is
Oh,
probably not.
probably not. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess the only thing I can say here is I really hope that Anzalone continues that high level of play last year. I was so impressed with him. I remember
Oh, gosh.
the dark days of 2, 3 years ago where it's like you watch this guy run around and it's like, what are we doing? I mean, he actually run was a very loose term. I think I watched one of the linesmen with the chains out sprint him at one point. So he's been had a massive turnaround in his career. Shout out to him. That's great. We'll see what a year or two of Jack Campbell can do. And honestly, Derek Barnes is just kind of, I think, that just energy rotation guy where he makes some good plays, but I don't think he's a great overall player, if that makes sense.
Yeah, agreed. I don't think it's not really a group that has it's not the most notable group because it's not the most glaring issue, and it's also, like you said, not much change there.
From there, I mean, that's kind of, I guess, if the last addition, if you want to say, is kicker Jake Bates from the
Oh yeah, this seems
USFL or
interesting.
the UFL, whatever that league calls itself these days, from the Michigan Panthers. And I guess cool if you use him. I think I've seen in the preseason he's been relatively consistent. He's like hit some field goals, but none of that matters if he's always on the bench in the critical moments where we need some points.
True. Didn't think about that. Cool story. I've seen some clips of him hitting some absolute bombs.
Yeah, I mean, he did have some nukes, obviously, at Ford Field, but then
He missed an
right
extra
away you
point.
had the
Yeah.
counterpoints of what's it like hitting a nuke in a place with 1,000 people in attendance versus what's it like hitting a nuke when
Yeah.
there's
He
60,000
also missed
people.
an extra point in their last preseason game.
Hey, followed her up with a game-winning kick though to beat the Chiefs.
True.
So if you miss one, it is what it is. I mean, that's always going to happen. It's what happens when you start to compound them. No one's perfect, but if they let them kick, awesome. And maybe I'll be a little happier with certain decisions that get made or don't get made by the by Mr. Head Coach and Mr. Fuck it, we go for it himself, Dan Campbell. But I don't know. I think that. For like I said, the last thing is he does have a leg. I mean, I think he was hitting some 64, 65 yarders at Ford
Yeah.
Field when he was playing with the Panthers. So there's clearly potential. We'll just see how much leash that
Right.
potential has.
Right. Kind of where do you want to take this next? Like maybe as a team perspective, where we see them actual game by game.
I say
Where do you want to go with
we could
this
go down the
next?
schedule.
Okay. I know we kind of already did it, but I think there's a little more to talk about with the additions kind of being done and us seeing, and getting early impressions of training camp, and the season kind of right around the corner now.
All right, well, in week one, you have Matthew Stafford and the Los
Yep.
Angeles Rams coming back to Detroit again.
On Carrie's night.
Yes, it is her night. I guess I think we're better than the Rams, and you better beat them. The opening line is at Detroit -3.5. Maybe that's slightly concerning because usually in the NFL you try and factor a couple points in for whatever team's at home, and if we're only 3.5 points, it's do they almost view it as a pick 'em? But I don't know.
I think those get more volatile as you get closer to the game. Like,
Fair.
I think if you looked at more all week one lines right now, they'd all be 4 points or less,
Fair.
except for the really like the Patriots and stuff like that. But
Yeah, I guess that's.
I think that could play a role in it as well.
Okay, yeah, I guess that could be premature, but about that game again, I mean, we're better than the Rams, or we think we're better than the Rams, so go out and beat them. You want to sit there and do your Matthew Stafford tribute this year or this time around because it's actually not a playoff game and there's less stakes. go for it. I don't think he
Yep.
deserves it, but go for it. Give him his little send off. Don't boo Kelly Stafford's kids, or she's gonna sue the state of Michigan for mental damages or whatever the legal system allows her to. I know that's more your topic, but don't do that and just go beat him. Start the season off 1-0 and just kind of as we'll go down, but I think the Lions have a massive opportunity to build a very big lead very quickly in the NFC North and maybe even the NFC, the rankings. I think we have a very favorable beginning of the stretch schedule.
Okay, let's get into it then.
We just did. You got any thoughts on this Rams thing? Or you're just gonna
Oh, and the Rams game, no, like I don't know, I do not. Basically, kind of what you just said, that the team you should beat, just don't let the spotlight get too big on Sunday night, which it shouldn't be for this group. Now you had the moment last year to start the season in Kansas City. You've now won two playoff games with this group. You played in an NFC Championship game. There's no excuses to not come out and win this game.
Yeah, agree. The very next week, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers coming into Detroit once for a second straight home game to start the season. This is again another rematch of a playoff game last year, and another team you better beat. You can't sit there and have massive Super Bowl aspirations and consider yourselves the best of the best if you can't beat inferior opposition at home. So I got it's tough that like we start with some of these kind of less debating, less talking about games, but that's what it is. You have to beat this team.
Nothing else to add.
Yeah, I mean, the next game, the Arizona Cardinals on the road. You know what? You want to sit there and say, oh, it's on the road and that makes it tougher. And oh my God, Kyler Murray's back and he's a running quarterback, and that's always given the Detroit Lions fits. Sure. And maybe there's some validity to it. Maybe it'll be a tougher game than you think, but guess what? You are much, much better than the Cardinals. They are, from the three teams we're going to start by playing, the Cardinals are absolutely the worst on paper, and you better beat them. That's got to be a win.
It's the spot where you really know where this team's head's at hopefully 2-0 in a key in by far inferior opponent, to where you go, okay, are we gonna come in here and just take care of business week after week, or is this gonna be something that we're gonna have to battle and we're gonna have to manage expectations and that kind of stuff? Because that's a game where you go in there and you win by 17 plus points, and I go, okay, this team is ready. They know what the goal is. They know what the expectations are, and they're willing to do it week in and week out.
I have that kind of mentality, but it's for the next game where the Seattle Seahawks historically give us trouble. I don't know why. They always beat us. They live rent-free in our heads. It's a Monday night game back in Detroit, and it's right before the bye week, and it's right before the Dallas Cowboys. So I don't want to sit here and use the term kind of trap game because it's the NFL. You can't have trap games. You're never allowed to fully think, oh, well, we're Alabama and we're playing the Citadel this year or this week, so we don't have to try. But this is, I think the Seahawks is the week where solidify yourself as 4-0, get into the bye week, which, by the way, we kind of got screwed with the bye week this year. Last year, I think we were kind of pretty lucky with it in the middle of the pack, and it kind of helps you have to get to go like 7 games, 8 games, bye week, 7 games, 8 games. Whereas now we're gonna fucking gauntlet to end the year. I think it'll be nine or no, it'll be about 12 straight games, 12 straight weeks of playing football, which is not fun for the players. I'm sure they'll just be nagging injuries as the season goes on. But go beat the Seahawks, start 4-0, get to the bye week, and then you get to the Dallas Cowboys, who, guess what? This team, I know I mentioned it. I was 2 weeks ago whenever we were doing the NFL kind of preview as a whole. This team has done themselves a, I don't want to say physical harm, but I think mentally they are not in a great spot. They're absolute, like, most people would have assumed that by now CeeDee Lamb would have been paid and Dak Prescott would have been paid and they'd be kind of ready to go in the season. But why not, like, coming off the bye week against the Dallas Cowboys, go beat them. I can't believe I'm about to say this. I actually expect us to beat them. Like I said, I think we have an incredibly favorable schedule, and this might be one of those kind of hot takes that we revisit if a couple things go wrong and it's like, oh, well, Vladdy's an idiot and he jinxed it. But I think the Lions can start that season 7-8-9-0 based on the schedule of games we have.
Yeah, I think I said this a month ago when the schedule came out. I think they're gonna, that should be the expectation, but I think in reality, they're gonna lose one of the two games between the bye weeks here. So either the Seattle or the Dallas game, and they'd be 3-1 at this point.
Okay. So yeah, I mean, I'm not, I don't think you can kind of hate that or anything. I think that you are given a great opportunity. I mean, as good as Dallas is in certain places, if you get to come off the bye week, I mean, let me see who they have the week before they play us, but I mean, they'll be playing the Steelers a week before on a primetime game. Maybe there's a letdown of whatever happens. I think you should beat the Cowboys, even though it is on the road in a place where we always seem to have some problems with the
Some
strikes.
funny things happen.
Yeah, so there's some tomfoolery that goes on at Jerry World when the Lions are in town. But I mean, the next game, the Minnesota Vikings, I mean, it's on the road, but that team, they're dead. What am I supposed to say here? Like, you're better than the Vikings, go beat them. It's a divisional game. Those are never easy. And if I want to say, I mean, I think the last couple of years we've kind of owned the Vikings, if I'm not mistaken. It's usually the Bears who give us trouble, which is very odd.
It's the Bears and obviously Green Bay for forever.
So, I mean, let's say we go and beat the Vikings. I have a starting 6-0. Then we go play the Titans.
5-1.
Titans at home.
Titans, winnable game. Another team with no expectations that you should go in and take care of business at home too.
Absolutely agree. I guess I miscounted the things. I think I said they could start 8 or 9 or 0. I actually think Packers away is where we lose our first game.
Probably,
I think that's just one of those where, even though I'm not totally sold on Jordan Love, I do think that the Packers kind of provide a unique challenge with how complete they are on the offensive end as a team, where it's not really, oh, well, it's Justin Jefferson and a collection of nobodies. All of those guys can hurt you. I mean, they brought in Josh Jacobs. It's on the road at Lambeau. If you want to sit here and try and find like positives, at least it's Lambeau in early November, not Lambeau in early January, but it's still the Jared Goff outdoors narrative and something that'll be probably colder than we would like it to be.
I don't know. Like you said, I'm also not 100% sold on Jordan Love and this Packers team being 9+ wins. You'll probably know what they are at this point in the season, I'm assuming. And it gives me faith that, I mean, they went in there last year. Granted, I don't think this is the same team that the Packers were last year at that point, but or will be the same team, and came in and spanked them on a Thursday night there last year. So I think that game was in late September, so November will be a little different in Green Bay. But like you said, at least it's not January or February.
Yeah, I think if we're trying to draw parallels from that Packers game last year by themselves, you say it perfectly. They were still dipping their toes in the water and trying to figure out what team they were back then. So yeah, we crushed them. It was a lot to a little very quickly. It was kind of like that Saints game where we scored 3 touchdowns in 4 minutes or whatever it was. But I just think that this is kind of one of those where you are finally gonna meet your match. And it actually leads us to the next game, the Houston Texans away. I also think that's a loss. Kind of, I think, similar types of things where the Texans are a complete offensive team. It's not just one receiver. There's three of them now. You can argue they upgraded their running back. You're gonna have another year of them kind of growing as a team under, why am I drawing a blank on
Marco Ryan.
D'Amico Ryans? Yes.
D'Amico Ryan,
Yes.
sorry.
Yes. Thank you. No, thank you for filling it. But yeah, I think that's another team that's just that they're gonna be getting better, better, and better. And I have us losing that game.
Yeah, I kind of agree. On the road, tough opponent. That's something in a matchup with Stroud that could really cause us problems. I know Dak Prescott is no slouch, and neither is Jordan Love, or at least they're not paid like it. But that is probably, and I guess you want to throw in Kyler Murray. That is probably the first legit quarterback matchup that I wince at and go, how good is this secondary going to be? How good is this defense going to be?
Jags at home, that better be a victory. I am not a believer of the Jags,
Yeah, you are
and
not. I don't think they're going to be quite as bad as you think. So I think this is kind of a trap spot after this kind of stretch of the schedule here, where you could go down a rabbit hole after losing what we just said 2 in a row and having what could be another good playoff team, I think. I know you're not a believer in it. And a game that you kind of need to win because you can't, if you want to be the team the Lions are trying to be, you can't string together stretches like that in a season. So I look for that as maybe a bit of a statement game if we are going to have a lose two there. I do think they win, though.
Next game after that, the Indianapolis Colts away. I have this as a loss. I think that this is kind of one of my quote unquote trap games where do I think we're a better team than the Colts? Sure. But at the same time, on the road against a team that is it is pretty good. I mean, I've talked about it. They were 1.5 plays away from potentially winning the AFC South last year and maybe winning a playoff game of their own. You bring Anthony Richardson back, who once again, scrambling quarterback. We don't know how we historically have shown that we cannot defend those. Maybe it changes this year, but who until they prove to us the Lions, that is, they prove that they can stop the scrambling quarterback, I have to assume they can't. So I think this is a game that we lose where it's just kind of one of those NFL games. You know, no one's perfect. Sometimes they just catch you on a bad day.
Yeah. Nothing to add on that one because I completely agree with where the Colts are at.
Bears at home afterwards. Better be a victory.
Another trap spot though. This is the part of the schedule where you look at and you go, this is a first place team schedule. I know the Bears are a division team, so it doesn't really matter, but I more mean so like you can get these stretches of having to play quality opponents when you do have a first place schedule like this.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I mean, if you look at our last six games. As we get into them, it's four division games and then the Bills and the 49ers. That is not fun. The division games, you're playing a team that knows you very, very well. It's hard to pull fast ones on them. So you never know what's going to happen there. And then obviously the Bills and the 49ers are some of the teams that have kind of, I don't want to say run the league because they obviously haven't with zero combined Super Bowls, but those are teams that consistently over the last 3, 4 years are at the top of their divisions, at the top of their conferences, and keep losing to the stupid frog named Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I was gonna say one man runs this league that
Yeah.
right now, but
But before we get to those, after the Bears at home is the Packers at home. That to me has to be a win.
yeah.
So I'm gonna list it as a win. Is that the
I think you have
Thanksgiving
to win
Day
both
game?
of those.
Is the
What's the
Packers?
date? I thought it was the Bears,
Sure. I mean, I don't know. I'm
because the
kind of
Packers
guessing.
were on Thanksgiving last year.
Oh, you don't think the NFL would
I don't think they try to double up like that,
Oh, you want
cause remember the teams don't want it. Like they don't want the Thanksgiving Day game.
Fair. Yeah, and you are correct. I'm looking at the actual dates of these games instead of just like looking at the opponent and how I have it marked in my notes. The Bears are Thanksgiving. After the Packers, the Bills at home. I think it's actually very, very key that we get three straight home games to kind of make the season a little easier with less travel. This to me is a win as well. I as much as I just kind of pumped the tires of this Bills team and of Josh Allen, I have kind of expressed my reservations about a team that has lost so much over kind of basically one off season between just vets and guys getting traded or signed somewhere else in free agency. So this to me is another win.
Yeah, I could see it too, especially off a long week, because they're going to play back. I'm looking at the dates as well. They're going to play that Thanksgiving game and then play another Thursday night game against the Packers the next week, which is odd. And then they'll play the Bills at a 4:30 slot for a home game. That'll be interesting. Just weird schedule. That's football nerding out on time slots like that on a Sunday, but
Yeah, I
you
mean
know the
schedules are.
vortex is what the vortex is on Sunday afternoons.
Yeah, I mean schedules are going to get weirder and weirder just because they're going to start. All the TV networks are demanding more and more unique time slots, and that's why you've got prime games. That's why you've got the Friday night games, just because
And
everyone's
there
like.
aren't they adding even more Christmas Day games?
But there are Christmas
Christmas
Day games
Day
this
game.
year. Yeah, I think they're Wednesday nights.
Well, there was three last year. But
But
the
I think
three.
last year Christmas actually fell on a Sunday, so it worked. This year they're just telling people.
No. I think it was like a Thursday or Friday.
Christmas was a Thursday. Okay, so that's I'll at least give them the benefit of the doubt that that's historic.
At least
No,
one game should be
Christmas
on
was a
that
Monday. Christmas was a Monday.
Monday. Okay.
So that's historically a day the NFL plays on.
Right.
This year, December 25th is on a Wednesday. And like you said, I think they are putting two or three games, which like that's just stupid to me, but go money.
Yeah, and I'm assuming they'll do the Black Friday Day game again too.
Oh, they have to.
Yeah.
They have to. But let's get back into the schedule. We're
Yeah,
kind of
sorry.
no. This is not necessarily a bad thing. We're hitting rambling stage. We're not even at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
So we get into the Bears away. I actually have this written as a loss. The Bears, for some reason, are always just one loss a year for the Lions, no matter how good or bad we are. That's gonna be the that I think that'll be the epitome of the Jared Goff can't play outdoors. That's gonna happen in
Okay.
late December, going to Chicago to Soldier Field. But that I don't, it's not bad necessarily. That to me that is the fourth loss of the season. So you're looking at a team that at that point is 10-4. That's pretty good, or 11-4. That's pretty good.
And I'll be honest, you mentioned the cold weather Goff thing. He's really not going to have to worry about that
Not
the
at
more I'm
all.
looking. He's got November 3rd against the Packers. That's really the only one that you might see any kind of cold weather. I mean, Minnesota in late October, that won't be more. That's not going to be like 30 degrees,
Well,
though.
it's going to be tough to be 30 degrees given Minnesota plays inside, but
Good point.
actually I know we mentioned this. This was definitely when the schedule came out. The Lions only play three games outdoors all season. You mentioned the Lambeau Field. We just mentioned Soldier Field. And
49ers?
the 49ers, who there's no such thing as bad weather in San Francisco.
No.
So we've got two games of outdoor potential bad weather, and one of them's on November 3rd. So we got very, very lucky where, where we just couldn't have gone any better. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
But to the 49ers away, this to me is also a loss. The NFL not really hiding anything. The Lions and the 49ers were kind of expected to be your two top dogs in the NFC. And if they have to play each other, why not schedule them at the end where you potentially have number one seed implications on the line? 49ers away, I do think the 49ers are a better team than us on paper.
Yep.
We're going to be on the road. I don't love that, and I think they beat us. But I will mention something later about the 49ers, which could potentially sway me based on what may or may not happen in the next week and a half. But I say
Okay.
49ers are a loss.
I do as well. I think that's their seventh and final loss of the season.
Oh, you have them at 7. I have us at 12-5.
That's very confident.
You're at.
I think 10-7 wins the division is still probably like a three seed at worst.
I don't necessarily disagree with that. I'm just saying you're a hater. You're a Detroit Lions
No,
hater.
I'm not a hater. I got us in the playoffs. We got them dogs. We got Danny D.
Yeah, I mean, last game of the season, Vikings at home. Not really much to say here. Like I said,
No.
I don't think much of this Vikings team, and it's a home game before the playoffs, so I think this will just kind of be one of those tune-up games, if you will, where I do think maybe similar to last year, we're kind of locked into a seeding by the time that game comes around, and it maybe is turned into more of a please don't get injured
Rest.
and keep us healthy for next week.
And hopefully he, if that is the case, doesn't play people like he did last year.
You know what? I'm just gonna say this. I'll yell about that if and or I'll burn that bridge if and when we cross it.
True.
Yeah, so I've got us going 12-5. Overall, I know we kind of mentioned the last thing of talking about the team. I'm actually more confident in this team now than I was 4 to 6 months ago, kind of around the draft and as free agency was going around. And it's not necessarily for anything that I think the Lions have done right. Like I do think they've gotten better than they were last year, maybe not in the areas that I would have liked, i.e. the defensive line versus just spamming resources into the secondary. But for me, I feel co more confident about this team because the Dallas Cowboys and the San Francisco 49ers, who are seen as our kind of two big rivals in the NFC alongside the Philadelphia Eagles, who they need to prove they don't hate their coach before they can get thrown back into this conversation. So you've got one of those teams where I've talked about it. The Dallas Cowboys are ready to implode. So I can't sit here and assume that a team that might go down a Philadelphia Eagles path where people just quit and start thinking about what they're owed individually versus what the team collectively needs to strive towards. I can't, I don't, I have no basis or no kind of thought processes that would lead me to believe that they're going to be a threat to a team like the Lions that is collective, is together, and drives forward to a co combined goal. And then the 49ers, now this is what I was just going to say. There's been the rumors of the Brandon Ayuk deal pretty much all offseason, and it's kind of gotten very, very annoying, to be completely honest, where they just keep regurgitating information. It's just been, oh, well, Ayuk demands a trade. And oh, the 49ers have given him permission to seek one. And then, oh, the 49ers have set an exuberant price because the 49ers have all of the leverage in the situation. Oh, there's no progress being made on a deal. Oh my God, we're now going to request a public tr a trade publicly in Brandon Ayuk's case. Oh, we're going to try and find some teams, and apparently we have a deal in place with the Pittsburgh Steelers, but we're not actually going to pull the plug on it, or we're not actually going to pull the plug on it, if you will, and execute it because we still want this guy, and he's a top 15 to top 20 receiver in football. So why would we get rid of him when we control him? It's just been so stupid, and I just wish it was over yet, whether it be one way or another. Obviously, I want Brandon Ayuk gone because if Brandon Ayuk's not on that team, I do think we're better than them suddenly because they've now lost their best receiver, one of their three best playmakers, and one of the top 15-ish receivers in football. And while they are loaded, we know that they're not suddenly going to get bad, but I do think that that will be a key loss that will put us over the top of them. So just get it over with, please. It's so annoying. The last thing I really have to say, and there's actually no like logic to this. It's more of just me going off a purely law of averages thing. Last season, we got very lucky with injuries. In a season where everybody's quarterback died, ours didn't. We never
True.
lost Amon-Ra St. Brown. We didn't lose Montgomery or Gibbs for an extended period of time. I think they both missed a game or two. Our offensive line, I mean, we talked about what I've talked about Ragnow and how he's just consistently battling his body to try and stay healthy and play games, but he played most of the time. Jonah Jackson missed a couple games, but Penei Sewell was there. Taylor Decker was there long term. You didn't have any torn ACLs, any kind of long term breaks, whatever it might be. On the defensive end, Aiden Hutchinson played. Brian Branch played. All of your key contributors played, and it just makes me slightly nervous that we're not going to get that lucky again. And there's no way to prove this. It's
Something I hadn't really thought about
purely law
is,
of averages and just kind of scariness, but I don't know.
No, it's a good point because I'm gonna choose not to think that way, but I hadn't thought about that, about how lucky you were. The only thing I'll really add on the outlook is the NFC and how wide open it truly is. And for me, I look at the NFC East and I see like Dallas and the Eagles are super big question marks for me because they've been teams that have kind of been towards the top here of the NFC the last couple of years. And in my head, and I think both of our heads, we see those two teams taking a step back. But I don't necessarily think that's 100% of a guarantee, especially with Philly. I think we're both kind of sold on that. This Dallas thing could get ugly quickly with just kind of the whole Jerry's World situation of it and what's going to go down this year with players and a coach who's in his last year of his contract as well. Anyways, but I look at that as kind of being the deciding factor for the Lions and that. But at the end of the day, even if you feel as though those teams are a threat, the state of the Lions roster, what they did last year, you should be confident that they should be able to get back to an NFC championship game. And the expectation for me is to make a Super Bowl. And if you're there, you might as well win it.
I like that. What I would say, and I agree with the whole expectation where I think this is a team where if they are not in the NFC Championship game, I think you have to consider the season a failure. I genuinely do. And that doesn't mean that, again, it doesn't mean you were a bad team, but you bring everything back from an NFC Championship. I know how hard it is to kind of get back there. I talked about it when we came up short, and it's like you look at some of those teams, the Blake Bortles Jags, the Atlanta Falcons with Matt Ryan, and you think, oh, well, we're young and we got there, so we have all this time ahead of us. And then suddenly you blink 2 years and things have completely changed.
Dan Campbell even said it when it happened.
Yeah, he did. I should probably was one of the. I've never agreed more with him about anything that he said, but I do think that it, as you assume that there is not just extenuating circumstances, say the whole team gets hurt. Yeah, it's tough to make it there when you're starting a third string quarterback, whatever hypothetical might arise. But your season, in my opinion, is considered a failure if they're not in the NFC Championship game. Like you said, if you're gonna be there for a second straight time, you might as well win it, whether it be a home game or an away game. And then when you go and play Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl, don't miss. You know, why not win a Super Bowl?
Yeah. Say it like it's like snap of a finger thing, but
Yeah,
I agree.
it is kind of wild what Patrick Mahomes has done to the to football and how we thought we got free from Brady, and nope, we did not.
Even still, like, I do think whatever team in the AFC is there is probably better than whatever team in the NFC is there, the way that gauntlet is going to run this year.
Agreed. The cream will rise to the top in the AFC, and you are correct. Whoever shows up there will probably be a favorite. But yeah, I don't actually have much more. I think this is actually gonna be one of our shorter episodes in a long time, unless we find something else to talk about. But I think we did what we needed to do. We talked about the Lions, key additions, key losses, season outlook, predictions, expectations. So I'm good to call it here.
Yeah, this has been a good episode. I hope you guys like the Lions, because if not, then I don't know why you're still listening at this point. You probably aren't. So I'll just end it on that. Good show. Love you guys for listening. Tune in next week.
Yeah, thank you very much. And just based on the episode, go Lions.